Now back to WITP, Weekends in the Park with Marty Lurie and Adam Copeland on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, the maybe a little sun coming out. The mist is gone, and we got a typical Saturday in April coming up at the ballpark today. The Giants and the Rays, game two of this three-game series. An opener today, Stanek going for Tampa Bay and Jeff Samardzija for the Giants. We're joined by Kerry Crowley, the beat writer for the Bay Area News Group and San Jose Mercury News, and it's good to see you. How are you?
Marty, it's always good to see you. Great to be out here. Fun to be out here with Adam as well, Carmen, Allie, the whole gang.
Yep.
We're back.
We're back. Isn't it something?
Yeah.
And we're back again. Here we go. What did you think about yesterday, the opening day? What was your take on just being out here and experiencing it? You were in a nice suit yesterday.
Very
nice.
You look sharp, dude. That's tradition, right?
I appreciate that.
Looked like his bar mitzvah suit yesterday.
Oh, that's very kind. Marty, I'm an Irish Catholic.
Sorry. Okay.
But, you know, one thing that the Giants have always done so well is pay tribute to their past and celebrate their story tradition. And I think yesterday that was especially important because the link to that, the person who really started all of it was Peter McGowan. And he did such a good job connecting former players with the franchise and really making this ballpark a place where fans could celebrate the traditions of San Francisco, not just of the Giants. And so I think it was especially important for them to do that yesterday. And Mike Kruko's speech about Peter, the speech that Peter had planned for the Wall of Fame ceremony, was really touching. And I thought that that was a highlight on a day where they also had to remember Willie McCovey and all that he meant to the franchise and celebrate Bruce Bochy with that first pitch. That was very emotional for Bochy. They did such a nice job of including everyone and making fans really understand how difficult this offseason was for the franchise.
I think we're seeing more and more how much that love between Bochy and Sandoval is a real thing, that's a real relationship these two guys have. Bochy lobbying for him to be on the roster. How did that come about, the ceremonial first pitch where he chose Pablo to receive his toss?
So he actually said post-game that he was not the one who chose Pablo. Pablo just happened to be back there. And I think that the Giants probably asked Pablo to be there. They know how important that relationship is to both the player and the manager. Earlier in the offseason, Pablo had honored Bochy at a coach's function and, you know, really talked about him as the most influential leader he's had in his life. And I think you see that. You know, Pablo plays for Bochy. He really tries to ignite that dugout. He listens to the manager. And, you know, it's special to see the relationship like that, because in the new age of baseball and analytics, and I understand, believe me, I'm a believer in where this game is going. I think we're going to lose a little bit of that on the relationship side between players and managers and coaches. And I think that we're still seeing something beautiful in what Bochy and Pablo have together.
Well, nice having Kerry Crowley. Very well said, Kerry Crowley, with us. Kerry, Mack Williamson, he's back. You know, just when we thought he was gone, they dragged him back in again. And he's in Sacramento tonight playing right field.
Yeah, I think a lot of Giants fans are hoping that Mack heads to the AAA level, heads to the PCL, and just absolutely tears it up and finds what he had last season at the beginning of the year, that he really forced his way onto the roster at the end of April. And then, of course, everyone knows the story of the concussion, how it changed the course of Mack's career, not just last season. And so it's going to be a long road for Mack Williamson. I don't think that we'll see a situation where he's back right away, but I think that it is possible for Mack to make it back. We know about the potential. We know about the raw power. Can he put it together? This is going to be tough for him to get over, not making the Giants opening day roster when he was out of options. It's going to test his fortitude in a way that it hasn't been tested yet, and believe me, he's been challenged a lot through his career, and so I'm interested to see how Mack performs with the Sacramento RiverCats.
Michael Reed back in the organization as well, elected free agency and then re-signed with Sacramento. Do we think that, is there any concern or thought around how that, I was shocked genuinely that Mack Williamson was not picked up by another organization. I thought he could be on a 40-man somewhere else to help a roster somewhere. Is there concern, or is there just a general thought that he's a 4A player, or what's the outside baseball view on Mack?
Well, I know for a fact that the Giants really didn't get any traction on him on the trade market.
Yeah.
And that was something that may have surprised people in San Francisco, but I think around baseball, he just isn't viewed as someone worthy of a 40-man roster spot right now, because he doesn't have the consistent track record of production. He's not a prospect's age. He's 29. He's gone through his career like this. And, you know, in Max's case, I think he's someone who could really benefit from going over for a season to play in Japan or play in Korea and reestablishing his confidence, because we know what he can do at the AAA level. We've seen him tear it up there. What can he do at the highest level of professional baseball elsewhere? We've seen guys do it. The Diamondbacks have a starter in their rotation this year, Merrill Kelly, who went over overseas and performed well, got his way back to a guaranteed contract. We saw it last year. The Cardinals' ace was Miles Mikolas, mm-hmm. and he came back and won 18 games for the Cardinals last year. And so it's possible to take that track. And in my opinion, if I were Max's agent, I'd be out there pursuing those kind of opportunities.
I agree. I said it during spring training. Yeah. I said it during spring training. If he doesn't make it, he should be playing in Japan or Korea and getting it going there. Mm-hmm. Plus, he'll make a lot of money doing it.
It worked for Tom Selleck, too, Mr. Baseball.
I thought Tony Salvador is Mr. Baseball.
Okay.
All right. This opener business, here we are today with Stanek going, Chirinos is behind him. Tomorrow, who knows what's going to... I don't know what... Henry seems to think the opener's happening tomorrow, too. Is
it
that
is.
True?
It is.
That is true tomorrow. What do you think about all this? And I've never seen a game like this live. I'm anxious to see what it looks like.
Oh, I'm anxious to see how it works in a National League ballpark. Evan Longoria brought up a great point this morning. He praised his former franchise for always being on the cutting edge of baseball and really trying to implement new strategies that give teams an advantage. We saw the Rays use it to their success last season. But how does it work in a National League park where you have to burn a pinch hitter in the second or third inning and then again in the fourth or fifth inning? Or maybe you do leave a relief pitcher in to take that out and just move on with the game. I'm really curious to see how it works, because we're kind of seeing, you know, the blending of tradition with the Giants versus the new age world of the Rays, and we're seeing baseball change in front of our eyes. And you've got Bruce Bochy in one dugout, 25 seasons in the game, lauded as a player's manager, an old school type. And you've got Kevin Cash in another dugout, who came after Joe Maddon in Tampa Bay and continued that tradition of unconventional thought. And so it's exciting to me. This is a matchup that I think is really a look inside the window of baseball in 2019.
You like that one. You like that he said the window.
You know,
of
you
baseball.
Said the window of baseball.
Yeah.
You win a $50 gift card to Baseball Isn't. For
did
saying
I?
That.
Yeah. Did I? Yeah.
Yes, you do. Wow.
I was going to challenge Kerry that in a National League ballpark, if you're an American League team anyway, you're probably giving up that pitcher spot anyway. Yeah. You're saying you don't get any hits out of this spot anyway. I don't think you lose much if you're saying, "Hey, we'll pull this reliever to throw in a starter."
Yeah, that's
in the
a great point.
Of the game. I feel like you're giving up that out most times anywho.
You know, my question is, do you have that relief pitcher just stand in the box, or does he swing the bat like a Derek Holland or a Drew Pomeranz
right.
would swing the bat in the Giants case? So, you know, maybe we'll see Chirinos stand in there and take three strikes down the middle and just walk back to the dugout. I don't know, but there's at least some excitement and some uncertainty in I don't know.
And we could potentially end up with the same opener today as tomorrow, depending on what they do with Stanek, which would be
that.
Bizarre.
I love that.
This is going to be interesting. I'm telling you, I've never seen this before.
I wanted to see Sergio Romo start 40 games for the Rays last year, just so he would lead the world. And starts.
This guy started, Stanek started 29.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
Snell started 31.
Yeah.
And he won the Cy Young Award.
And Stanek did not.
No, he didn't. It's
well,
true.
The best is a lot of time, this guy Ryan Yarbrough comes up after Stanek. They're saying he could be the guy tomorrow once they do the opener. That Yarbrough comes in. He won 16 games last year. He made six starts.
Yeah. My question about Yarbrough, and Jeff Samardzija brought up a great point in the offseason, is where's the pride for these starting pitchers? Why are they allowing this to happen where you're told you're going to pitch the second through the sixth inning instead of the first through the fifth? Because, you know, it goes to the kind of one of the root issues that we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's labor relations.
Right.
And, you know, these teams are suppressing salaries. We know that the Tampa Bay Rays are a team that has always looked to cut its payroll. And you've got a guy in Yarbrough who, if he's a 16-game winner and he's making 30 starts a year, his arbitration number is going to be totally inflated, and it's going to make him much harder to pay. But if he's coming in the second through the sixth or the second through the fifth, can they keep that salary down and make him a more affordable player? To me, it's not really fair to the player, but we're seeing some of those tactics play out in front of our eyes.
And then some owner is going to get the belt.
Yeah, some owner is going to get
the arbitration belt.
Well, and then the flip side of that, too, is the Rays are now the first team, the longest contract or the biggest contract ever handed to Blake Snell in arbitration for a guy with just 2 years of big league experience. So they're the team that did the opener, had the Cy Young Award winner, are cutting down salaries, but are also giving the longest arbitration two-year contract to him.
Yeah, I think we knew what was going to happen there with Blake Snell is he was going to be priced out eventually. So
you lock
him in at $10 million per year or whatever they did so that come 2023, they're not forced to pay him $25
million. It's the Bumgarner Matt Cain deal.
Yeah.
To buy out the arbitration.
Absolutely.
Years, yeah.
Boy, what a story. What a story. Well, I know you're off tomorrow. There's so much more to talk about. But
there is.
Enjoy tomorrow. And we'll catch up with you, Kerry Crowley. Always good to see you.
Always good to see you, Marty. Looking forward to it. And it's just so nice to be back on the patio.
Yeah,
out here.
And
this is the best.
As I said, we're going to do the post-game show from the bunker today.
Okay.
So if you finish up early and you want to come down, please come down. Because I want to talk to you about Posey and the batting order. We'll see how it goes today.
Yes, I know there are some controversial opinions
at this
in
table.
This group right now.
At this table,
yeah.
And I want to get my point in.
Well, I know what your point is, and I know what Carmen's point is, and I've sided with Carmen, so we'll talk about that on the post-game show.
Everything you say is right, except you're wrong. All right, more coming up right after this.